questions for little hearts.
Who is God?
Are Jesus and God different? Why can't I see God?
How do we know he's real if we can't see him?
Where's heaven?
What does heaven look like? How can Jesus fit inside my heart?
Join me, Charlene Sagan, special guest and teacher with over 30 years' experience, Wendy Rind. We'll discuss how to approach these challenging conversations and how to best represent the heart of God to our children. Tune in every Tuesday from 11 to 1 p.m. throughout the month of October for this special series.
Big questions
for little hearts.
Good morning. You're listening to Impact 103. I'm Charlene Saker. And today's a really special day because we are launching a brand new series, and it's called Big Questions for Little Hearts. Now, as a parent, you will know that your kids ask you a lot of really interesting, deep, hard to answer questions. Mine usually do that right before bedtime when I have no words left. But we really just thought it would be so great to create a resource or actually just open up a conversation about how we approach these conversations, these hard questions, hard conversations with our children in the best way possible. Now, today we are going to just lay a foundation for the conversation, because we don't want to just come right in and just answer all the questions and really miss the heart of it. So we're going to just go back to the basics. And so I'm joined here by the amazing Wendy Rind. She's the owner of Patches Play School. She's been doing this for 30 years, been working with young kids, like ages 2 to 5, basically. And so she's just so the right person to talk about this with me, because she has been, one, doing this for so long, but she also has such a beautiful way of just displaying Jesus to small hearts. So thank you, Wendy, for being with me today. So Wendy, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what are you passionate about?
Well, I just want to thank you for having me here. I'm so excited to speak about little minds and how they work. Mm. It's my absolute passion to work with kids and to kind of understand them and get to know them. Mm. I've been a preschool teacher, as you said, for about 30-something years. And it's just been a beautiful opportunity to facilitate learning for 3 to 5-year-olds, because they are so inquisitive and curious, and most of the learning happens at, you know, between those ages.
Yeah.
And they are like little sponges.
Yeah.
And they searching for truth. And that's what they want. They want truth. They don't want anything else.
Yeah.
And what an opportunity for us to help them find that truth. They are definitely sponges of new information and anything they can, you know, take in.
Yeah.
I'm a follower of Christ. I am definitely dedicated to in teaching these little ones to experience a real and direct connection with a big and beautiful God.
Yeah.
I don't want them to experience God by hearsay, but I want them to experience God for themselves.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I mean, I have the privilege of having my little girl, and my oldest was also in the Patches, but you do this little quiet time thing,
yeah,
with them, where they can just have time to hear from Jesus, and they actually just draw pictures. But
yeah,
my daughter came home with a picture, and it's like, this is me and God. And it's so beautiful, because it's not stale in any way. It's just them getting to explore and just find God,
yeah,
in just the...
And it's also just giving them time to listen.
Yeah.
Because many of us, you know, rush through life without actually listening.
Mm.
And to know that God speaks and we just need to listen,
yeah,
is quite a thing to learn. And it's great if you can learn that first thing, you know,
mm,
so young.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to carry on chatting about this and, like we said, laying a foundation for how do we approach these conversations. It's very important to just get down to what is most important before we just jump into answering questions. Because sometimes it's just like a default, you know, we just blurt out an answer because that's what we know. But let's really take a moment to just stop and consider, what do we believe and what are we teaching our children?
Mm. So as a teacher, I get a lot of questions, and And I'm sure you as parents get a huge amount of questions. And like you said, they usually ask before bedtime.
Or when you're about to drop them off at school.
Yeah. And, you kind of in that mode of getting life done, you know.
Yeah.
So, there are different kinds of questions. There are factual questions that can be answered with general knowledge and studied knowledge. So those are easy.
Yeah.
But then they're deeper questions, spiritual questions on a, different aspect. And this would be easy to answer if you just blurt out the Christianese default answer, the answer you've been churched in. And it would be so much easier just to do that. And moms and dads, I can imagine that is your default most times because life has to go on.
Yeah.
And so it is easier to do it that way, but their little lives need to experience answers and they need to experience the living truth. And that's how they learn, through experience. And so they need to actually learn how to listen to God themselves and how to be led by the Holy Spirit, and how to hear the living word, which is not just the Bible, but it's, his voice in them.
Yeah.
And the living word of Christ, who is Christ. And, of course, the full answer only comes by God opening their little spiritual eyes to see. And so we can't expect them to, kind of get a download from us. They really need to experience it for themselves.
Yeah.
And so the ultimate opportunity for your little ones asking all these curious questions is an invitation for us as parents, as teachers, to go on a journey of discovery with them.
Yeah.
Discovering the true reality of the living God and not just the theory of what we've learned. The reality of a living God that is with us and in us and, all around us. And so this journey in the with God life of searching out the one who is the way, the truth, and the life to all their questions, that's the journey that we want to take these little ones on.
Yeah.
So we don't want to answer these questions with a bunch of theoretical, informational Bible trivia knowledge.
Yeah.
But we want God to reveal himself to them personally in a very real way.
Yeah.
And so we want God to open their little spiritual eyes and ears through experiential knowledge, because that's how they learn.
Yeah.
We want God to help them to go through practical experiences and come to a real awareness of a God in their life.
Yeah. So good and so important, because we want our kids to have an authentic connection with God, not just because I have to. We want them to truly understand who God is in their hearts.
Yeah.
So good. I think since becoming a mom, I've never been as challenged on what I believe, because I've realized that if I can't explain it in the simplest terms, then I don't understand it. Sometimes I start answering a question and then halfway through I realize, okay, like I'm not even making sense to myself here. My kid's definitely not going to understand. So I think this is an important conversation. So what is our starting point, in your opinion, Wendy?
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, there's so much pressure. We think we've got to say the right thing, and otherwise, they're doomed. But actually, take the pressure off and allow them to learn from the best teacher.
Yeah.
That's what I say. So for me, the starting point would be kingdom, okay? Yeah. Kingdom living.
Yes.
Seek first the kingdom. Mm-hmm. We want to teach our kids to seek God and to search for him. So seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? We all have our own little human kingdoms where we are the king of our kingdoms.
Yeah.
And we live in worldly kingdoms. We live in kingdoms with governments and kings and queens ruling and governments reigning. And so we also have a beautiful spiritual kingdom. So we live in both. We live in a spiritual kingdom that God has invited us into, and we live in a physical kingdom.
Yeah.
And there's a reality of existence in both of these kingdoms.
Yeah.
And, you know, are we experiencing that as parents?
Yeah.
You know, obviously physical kingdoms are limited by space and time and physical senses and flesh and mind and body. And then the spiritual kingdom is not restricted by these things.
Yeah.
It's an everlasting kingdom. You know, it's outside of time and space, and it's where God's presence, power and dominion rules and reigns.
Yeah.
So it's his kingdom, and he's invited us into this beautiful spiritual kingdom.
Yeah.
And you know, our little ones have their kingdoms, and there's a definite clash of kingdoms when your little one doesn't submit to your kingdom.
Yes.
And so you, there's that, you know, fight for keeping their kingdom.
Yeah.
And Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, yeah, which means it's come near. It's here.
Yeah.
Basically, you're looking at it, you know, it's a spiritual kingdom that's found in me.
Mm.
And this kingdom is where I rule and reign, and it's where my rule and reign and presence and power and authority govern.
Yeah.
And it's a living reality of existence in me. And it's a different kind of life. It's not, you know, the life that we live in the physical kingdom. It's not like that. It's abundant. It's everlasting. It's beautiful. It's filled with peace, and the one that is peace. And but we can have and live in that kingdom here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite profound, but it's actually beautiful.
it is. It's amazing. And I think the understanding of that foundation, it's not just going through the motions. It's not ritualistic. It's understanding that we were made for,
yeah,
we were made for this kingdom of God. We were created for something bigger. And so just to get that perspective, we're going to talk a little bit about how we approach these conversations a bit more, and how we as parents can prepare ourselves first for these difficult and interesting conversations.
Impact 103.
So parents, did you know that your answers will shape your child's view of who God is? Wendy, can you explain that statement to us a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's so important. You know, as parents or teachers, the way you know God will be your answers, and then that will shape their little view of who God is.
Yeah.
It starts with us. It starts with the parents' view. It starts with the teacher's view of God. What is your view of God? Are you experiencing life in the spiritual kingdom and demonstrating a with God life yourself?
Yeah.
What do you believe, and why do you believe it? Is your view of God something you've been told at kids ministry or heard about but never experienced, but you've heard about it through books and pastors and teachers and theology school? Or are you experiencing a true reality of connection with God?
Yeah.
This is the greatest gift that we can give to our little ones, a true living reality of connection with God ourselves. And when they see that, it changes them.
Mm.
And they start realizing that they can also have this connection.
Yeah, I think it's so important what you're saying, because like we've said before, you know, our kids are watching us, and they see how we interact with people. I kind of really believe this, that most of our parenting is done when we're not talking, when they see how we treat other people. And so this is why the first step is to really go and do some inner work and really figure out, okay, what do I believe and how do I see God? Because if you see God as a God who punishes, if you see a God who is, you know, judging you from up there, like, it's going to come through in your answers. And so sure. I think a very good question to ask is what we said in the beginning, which is, parents, like, What is your view of God, and how is that going to shape their view of God? What would you want them to believe about God? And so then you go work it back and say, okay, how can I change my view of God so that what comes through is life and love and generosity and the actual goodness of God.
Yeah, for sure.
I could imagine that most parents are thinking, okay, this is all great and I agree, but how do we actually do this? Like, give me some practical tools here. So, Wendy, please, yeah. I know you're full of ideas.
Well, yeah, the most important thing is don't answer the question with an answer. Help them to think for themselves. So answer a question with a question.
Yeah,
I think that for me is the most encouraging thing for a little one, is to actually ask a question back to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you think? Who do you think God is? You know, why do you want to know this? Maybe there's something happening in their little lives that they asking this question to get some clarity in their life, but they need to actually search God out, you know, on this and take them on a journey.
Yeah.
To do that.
I think that's so important because, you know, like the other day my son came home and asked me a question, something to do with someone dying, but it was actually because something happened at school.
Yeah.
And so, like you say, answering with a question means that you get a bit more information about where they are at, what are they asking, without just kind of bulldozing and giving them almost too much information, more than they can handle. Finding out what's behind the
from.
Yeah, exactly.
So an immediate answer or imposing your opinion will quickly stifle that seeking and searching process.
Yeah.
And it'll definitely kill curiosity.
Yeah.
And so the process is more important than the product. I always say that
so
at school.
Good. Yeah.
You know, it's not the answer that's important. It's the journey of finding out what that answer is.
Yeah.
And on that journey, you learn more about God. You learn more about this spiritual stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Don't interfere with the process by throwing out an answer.
Yeah.
Or giving that Christianese product answer.
Yeah.
I know it's simpler and easier, but it's so unhelpful.
Yeah. And I think, if you think about the foundation we were laying is that, you know, think about that in 20 years' time. Are there someone who just wants someone to give them an answer?
Exactly.
Or are you teaching them to go and search or seek God out and go and look for answers and be curious about life?
And we really want to teach them how to think, not what to think.
Yeah,
that's
good.
What we want to do.
We don't want to teach them what to think. We want to teach them how to think.
Mm. So be okay to say, I really don't know. Let's discover this one. You know, by going on a journey to find out and inquire from the one that does know.
Yeah.
Let's go on this journey together.
Yeah.
And I think that's so refreshing and so important. And also, you know, have a big view of God in your searching. Exalt him, you know, make him sound big. Make him be big in their little eyes.
Yeah.
Journey with them, you know, in their curiosity. Reach, search it together. Experience the reality of God together.
Yeah.
Without any judgment, you know, any question that comes your way, no matter how inappropriate it is or embarrassing it is, or maybe you feel a little fearful about answering a question.
Or you feel like something's wrong with my child that they're asking this very dark or very big question.
But remember, if they can't come to you with questions now, imagine when they're teenagers.
That is so true.
You want them to come to you. You want them to inquire.
Yeah.
And you want them to go on a journey with you.
Yeah, so important.
And so be aware of your own defaults and formation, and what you've heard and what you've learned, and your view of God. Is it a big view of God?
Yeah.
Be aware of that.
I think it's so important. So that thing of saying, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So my lines normally, I'll get back to you. but I think what that does is it gives me time to go and think about my answer. And sometimes it also then creates an opportunity for me to sit and chat with my husband and say, like, what do we actually believe about this? Because, again, answering it like just out of a default, we haven't really considered our answer well. And so I think just you know, just give yourself some time to think about it, and then, but then you do need to go back to them. You need to remember to talk.
But in that time, maybe take them on that journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, with you.
No, definitely. You know, and I think, again, it's like, it's not this stale, like, ritualistic thing. It's like, it's an organic thing. It's like, hey, like, I found the scripture. We were talking about that yesterday. Like, look what the scripture says. Like, what do you think that means? I think just making it very relational and just organic and normal. Now, my kids have embarrassed me many times, and they've asked questions where I've wondered, oh, my word, like, have I completely messed up this parenting thing already? And it's only, like, 7 years in. But I think kids tend to really, like, cause you to sometimes be embarrassed, and I realize it's actually just pride. And so I think it's just interesting how this relates to how we answer these hard questions and how we respond.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes our answers are from a perspective of principle.
Yeah.
You know, a moral obligation, a cultural expectation. You know, what are we expected to act like as a family, or even belonging to an institution? How are we belonging well to an institution?
Yeah.
But, you know, that perspective is very limiting for a little one, and it doesn't reveal God.
Yeah.
And so these little ones need God to open their little spiritual eyes and ears.
Yeah.
So they can truly live, you know, without that principle hanging over their head or moral obligation or whatever.
Yeah, it's so good. And it reminds me of, like, the passage of scripture where the kids, like, running to Jesus and the disciples trying to stop them, and Jesus, like, let them come to me. And I think we kind of create this idea that kids have to come to Jesus in a very specific way.
Exactly.
You know, we have to say the right thing, do the right thing at the right time. But actually, Jesus' heart is like, let them come to me. Let them run to me when it seems like the inappropriate time. Like, we want them to have that freedom to just run to Jesus whenever.
Exactly.
So, Wenny, this has been such a great conversation. I really just loved this chat. And I hope that as a parent, you feel like just a new desire to go and seek God out for yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. And then to be okay to not have the answers, because it is overwhelming to feel like, yes, I have to be part of my child's, like, formation, but actually it's
got to have a theological degree.
Yeah, but it's not all on you. And exactly. I think if you do have someone also that you trust, you know, who's maybe been parenting for a bit longer than you, also just reach out to someone who's got wisdom. I've had just such great advice given to me around these questions, because sometimes I just don't know how to answer it. In a certain way. So, you know, have honest conversations with other people as well.
Exactly. So a journey of discovery for these little ones will be packed with practical exercises that connect them directly to God. And this direct connection is very helpful when one parent is on a different page in their belief system, or if they grow up without any reference or example from caregivers of God, or if their caregivers don't have a clear and accurate personal view or any view at all.
Yeah.
So this journey of discovery is definitely a practical connection to God for themselves.
Yeah. We'll get more into the practical in the weeks to come. I think for me, the one thing that I would say, like a very, very practical thing, what I've realized is that, so I joked about my son asking very, very deep questions just before bedtime, but then I realized
that's the time.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's clearly the time where, you know, he always just wants to tell me something deep about his day or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of like over it. I'm like, my parenting shift has ended at 6, so I'm like, I'm done.
And that's their debriefing.
Yeah. But that's, like, we need to look for those opportunities. Like, when is your child really desperate for that kind of connection? Mm. If they're asking questions at that time of day, clearly that is your opportunity to their heart, because you want to get to their hearts. And so I would say do everything a half an hour earlier. Create space for those moments. Don't rush.
And ask them questions.
Yes.
You know, before they even ask you questions, ask them questions.
Yeah, definitely.
Big questions, small questions, whatever. Just get them thinking.
And if it's a child that doesn't really want to talk or open up, just say, like, what was your favorite part of today? Or what was the worst part of today? And then, you know, you just find a question to ask just to start the conversation.
Yeah.
And then they do tend to open up.
Yeah.
So good. Thank you, Wendy. Next week, we're going to carry on with the series, and we're gonna talk about more specific questions and talk about questions about God, like, is God real? How do we know he's real? How can he fit into my heart? Things like that. You know, those classic questions our kids ask. So listen next week between 11 and 1 as well, where we're going to chat about big questions for little hearts.